Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of our message here this morning is on Luke chapter 4, verses we just read. Also bringing into our consideration this morning a little bit of Luke's account from Acts chapter 1, which gives a little bit more detail on what happened there as Jesus ascended into heaven right before his disciples' eyes. Right now on billboards, if you live in the Twin Cities, you'll know what I'm talking about. Ideal Credit Union has a series of billboards around the Twin Cities that says, Ideal Credit Union, live the ideal life. Now, obviously, it's a play on words of a much more common expression that's out there. One usually said a little bit wistfully in sort of, I don't want to call it the heat of the moment, but you know what I mean, where someone just sort of sits back and says, ah, now this is the life. Sometimes it can mean very different things, though, when someone says, ah, this is the life. Maybe it's living the simple life. You know, like you live by the adage, less and more, and so in its simplicity, you just kind of lean back and, ah, now this is the life. Or if you're a little bit more adventuresome, maybe you might live the Harley life. Quite a few years ago now, Harley Davidson came out with this ad campaign, Harley Davidson Motorcycles, live by it. So be something more like, ah, this is the life. Actually, be a lot more noisy than that, but anyway. Or maybe you live the athletic life, and you make it your point to get to places around the country where living that athletic life would be, well, challenging and yet invigorating all at the same time. And there are, of course, a list of top 10 places to do so. The top of the list, Boulder, Colorado. But as Christians, we talk regularly about living the life, how we live, talk about living the joyful life, living the righteous life, living in anticipation of the eternal life. But today, as we gather together in our homes and around screens, and yet as we gather together around the gospel, we celebrate this festival of the ascension of our Lord, and we are invited to live the ascended life. People have said that Christians are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good, but that isn't what the ascended life is talking about. The ascended life is so much more than that. And as we consider it this morning, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, as Jesus and his disciples, and it wasn't just the 12, it was a larger group than that. As Jesus and his disciples headed out to the vicinity of Bethany up in the hill country there, I think everybody kind of knew that something was going on. There are lots of questions being posed to Jesus. Everybody maybe feeling like their time was short. But it was then that Jesus shared with them yet again what it would mean to live the ascended life. Jesus spoke to them in words recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 1, that more detailed account of this moment. Jesus said to those disciples gathered around him, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now, a few years ago, the Associated Press carried a story from Glasgow, Kentucky. This is what the article said. Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered that someone had stolen the motor. Needless to say, Mr. Puckett was not going to get very far in his car. You have to have power. If there's no engine, there's no power. Makes the car pretty much worthless. And as cool as Fred Flintstone looks driving his car, that really is no way to drive a car. You have to have power to get somewhere. Only the kind of power that Jesus is talking about to the disciples here isn't about gasoline or electric motors. No, the kind of power we need to live the ascended life can only come from one source, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit at work in us who gives us the power of knowing what our ascended Lord has done for us. Francis Bacon once said that knowledge is power. And when it comes to the Spirit, this spiritual knowledge, well, Bacon couldn't have been more correct. First, you see, I need to know that I'm a sinner. I need to know that over and over I sin, that God said, be perfect, and I'm anything but. Of course, that knowledge just makes me feel guilty, maybe accompanied by some regret. And so secondly, I also need to know that what Jesus said, that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, has, in fact, happened, just as he said it would. I mean, that's not just remarkable, that is miraculous, as the God-man Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for the world, and in so doing, gave salvation to the world. But still, in and of itself, as that historical fact of history, it doesn't give me power. And so thirdly, I need to know that Christ, he did all that for me the sinner, the imperfect man that I am. Christ died for me. Christ gave peace to me between my heavenly Father and me. Because of Jesus, heaven is mine. That message of Christ crucified and risen from the dead, as Paul puts it, is the power of God for salvation to every one who believes. You see, it is the for me, it is the for you that gives you and me the power that Jesus promised through the Spirit. The power that Jesus was talking about, the power to live the ascended life. As Paul put it to the Colossians, he said, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, the ascended life is about action and truth. It's not just about knowing these things that Jesus has done and receiving them in our hearts by faith through the work of the Spirit. It's not just in here. It's out there. And that's why Jesus said to those disciples gathered around him, he said, you are witnesses of these things. And as I look at those who are gathered here, and as I look at you through the camera lens, we can see it, can't we? I mean, that we as disciples have the very same power, the very same knowledge to do just that. When we consider all that Christ has done for us, and now what he calls on us to do, we have the very same desire to do just that. To be witnesses of these things that Christ has done for us, to be his witnesses. But don't think for a moment that this witnessing is something that, you know, I'll get around to. You know, if the wind is coming out of the northeast and the barometric pressure is on the rise and the moon is waning and the constellation Orion is off just above the horizon in the west, then, if all that happens, then I'll do some witnessing. But until then, no, what did the angel say to those disciples that stood there with their mouths hanging open, staring up into the sky? They said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. You see, living the ascended life means living in eager anticipation that our ascended Lord Jesus is coming back and he is coming soon. It's recognizing that this ascended life to which we have been called and in which we've been blessed, it's limited time. Jesus is coming again. And so we can't just talk about living the ascended life. God wants us to actually live that life. Because you see, the world is filled with people that need to hear it. People who are caught up in hopelessness and despair and guilt and the fear of death. We have peace and we can give it to them simply by living the ascended life. So often I hear well-meaning Christians complain that not enough people in this world go to church. Ah, if only more people were in church. You've probably heard that. Maybe you've even thought that. But if you look at our text for today, Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't command the whole world to go to church, does he? No, Jesus commanded his church to go to the whole world. When a man named Luigi Tarrizio died, his home was opened, and inside were found 246 exquisite violins. He'd been collecting these masterpieces all his life. All of them were stored in his attic, and the best one, a priceless Stradivarius violin, was found in the bottom drawer of a rickety old dresser. See, he was so devoted to the violin and collecting all these beautiful pieces that he robbed the world of the beautiful music that they would have made. When that Stradivarius had been played for the first time, it had been silent for 147 years. No one heard it because he wouldn't share it. Look at what we have. We have forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God. We have victory over death. We have eternal life. And by God's grace, we have the opportunity each and every day to live the ascended life. So what are we going to do with our ascended life opportunity? Are we going to shove it in the dresser drawer of our heart and leave it there? No. We're going to boldly seize this life that God has given us by grace, this ascended life, and we're going to take out that Stradivarius of the gospel that the Lord has given us and let the world hear its music. After all, he gives you the power through his Spirit. He gives you the knowledge through his Spirit, and he gives you the motivation. He gives you everything you need, including the opportunities. Because you see, here's the thing about the ascended life. You can live it wherever you go and whatever you do. Because the ascended life isn't about where you are or the things that you do. The ascended life is all about the attitude of gratitude that God has placed in your heart for all the things that he has done for you. Even in these times of social distancing and limited access, we have opportunities like never before to share the comfort, the confidence, the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. So live the ascended life and be his witnesses so that his praises may ring forth from your heart out to the world, to the very ends of the earth, from wherever you are and through whatever it is you do. Like those disciples, you too worship him this morning. And then you will return to your ascended life with great joy, continually praising and blessing God. Amen.